Welcome back, everyone, to another great book discussion. I'm so excited to also be moving into round three of March Madness. That voting begins today. I absolutely love watching the votes come in each week. And we are actually going to be down to our final four. I cannot believe it. So be sure to click the link below this blog post to see who made the cut and cast your vote today for our final four. Our next author expert training will be on Thursday, March 21st at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Author Abby Downey will share how authors can leverage the power of flash fiction to grow their author platform. This class will not only give tips and tricks to make writing the shortest stories easier, but will also show you why you should try and how flash fiction can help your writing career and marketing efforts. The cost is $17 for non-HCRW members, and it's free for members. You can sign up with the link in this episode's blog post. And then for our final announcement, I consider this a pretty big announcement from us. You will not see much from us on social media moving forward. And here's some reasons why. It really comes back to due to the fact that our content is Christian-based, it's Christian content, we are constantly throttled to the point that very few of our followers see our posts. And it takes a lot of time for me to create images, videos, verbiage for the posts, and then schedule them all, only to have them not reach all of you guys, right? So it's quite frustrating on my end to put that kind of time into it to not even reach you guys. So I don't have control over social media, but I can control my newsletter list. So if you have not signed up for our newsletter and you want to keep up with what we are doing and offering at Literary Escape, I would suggest you sign up now. I'm not saying you won't see anything from us on social media, but there'll be very few posts in there moving forward. And receiving our newsletter once a week is really the only way to ensure that you do not miss anything. And you can sign up for the newsletter at literaryescape.com/newsletter. There'll be a link there for you to click. You just give us your first, last name, email address, and from then on out, until you decide to unsubscribe, you'll get an email every Friday with all of the happenings here at Literary Escape. All right, that's enough announcements. Let's move into this week's book discussion. Welcome to the Literary Escape podcast, the only podcast that serves both readers and authors of historical Christian romance. We read, discuss, review, and rate books in this unique romance subgenre and sprinkle in a few contemporary Christian suspense books. Authors, we bring you inside tips and tricks from those who have gone before you. Then we bring both readers and authors together for fun-filled live Q&As. Literary Escape is the one-stop shop for both readers and authors to connect, learn, and grow together. Let's dive into this adventurous episode. Starring Jamie and Melissa in the discussion of Beneath the Surface by Lynn H. Blackburn. I'm really excited to talk about this series, by the way. It's our first contemporary romance / suspense series that we've ever done. We always just stick to historical, which we love.
We do.
But I thought it might be nice to kind of break out to a, like what I call a cousin to historical,
yes.
You know, they're
yes.
all Christian romance, but they're in different times. And so, all right. So today we're going to talk about Beneath the Surface, which is the first book in Lynn Blackburn's Dive Team Investigation series. She thought she'd be safe when she moved back home. She was dead wrong. After a harrowing experience with an obsessed patient, oncology nurse practitioner Leah Weston needed a change. She thought she'd left her troubles behind when she moved home to Carrington, North Carolina, and took a job in the emergency department of the local hospital. But when someone tampers with her brakes, she fears the past has chased her down and reaches out to her high school friend turned homicide investigator, Ryan Parker, for help. Ryan finds satisfaction in his career, but his favorite way to use his skills is as a volunteer underwater investigator with the Carrington County Sheriff's Office dive team. When the body of a wealthy businessman is discovered in Lake Porter, the investigation uncovers a possible serial killer, one with a terrifying connection to Leah Weston and deadly implications for them all. It was a good one.
Yes.
I loved this book. So before we head into the discussion, I just want readers to know that Ryan is Leah's older brother's best friend. So you can imagine the little complication there, which we'll talk about it a little bit as we get into it. But one of the first like crazy scenes is Leah's brakes go out in her car. So I was just curious, have you ever had that happen to you?
Luckily, no. No, like I've had squishy brakes, but I've not lost them completely. So,
okay, I have.
Ooh.
It was, and I was a teenager. I was driving home from school and I had my two younger sisters with me. And I was like pushing on the brake. I'm like, nothing's happening. And then like, I thought, wrong because this is not an old car that I had, but you know how they talk about like you got to pump the brakes on like the really old one. So I'm like pumping, nothing's happening. And then like I slammed the pedal to the floor and it caught just like very little and I kind of like creeped. But there were several four-way stops on the way home. I drove slow, but I had to like lay on the horn because I couldn't actually stop at them.
Oh,
and
gosh.
I had to like get through all of them. It was scary. And so when I was reading her scene, she wrote it perfectly. It is that like, okay, I'm watching all these other vehicles and trying to figure out how can I land this car somewhere safe.
Oh my goodness.
You know, and not hurt anyone but her. And then her nursing coming in there and she's like checking her injuries while she's trying not to pass out.
That would be the worst. That would be the worst because, you know, I mean, and as a nurse, I mean, I'm not even a nurse, and being in the medical field for, you know, almost a decade, like you see these things and it's like, she knew exactly how bad it could go. It's like, you don't have to guess. Like, that's the hard part. Like you're sitting there like, I know, like this could be nothing. I could just have a cut or I could be bleeding internally. And it's
I don't know. Is it worse to know or not?
I don't know. I think I'd rather not know. I'm like, you know, I'm just going to hold this until someone else comes and takes a look at it because I just can't.
And I loved how Mr. Cook was talking to her in, you know, trying to help her, which we'll talk about Mr. Cook more. But I really loved his character through the whole series.
Yes.
Okay. The other thing that you find out about Ryan is that he has a brother-in-law who's, in my opinion, scum.
Mm-hmm.
He has walked out on his sister and two kids.
Mm-hmm.
And he had an affair. He just went and was like, I'm in love with someone else. And
no shame, has her around, like no decency.
And he happens to be a doctor at the hospital where Leah works, which Leah doesn't really associate with him because she doesn't care for him either.
Yeah.
But Ryan goes to the hospital because his job, he made a promise because her brother's like overseas somewhere.
Yeah.
I can't remember where. And he made a promise that while you're gone, I'll look out for your sister. Right. So he finds out and she's. Oh, yeah. That was the funny thing that he's her emergency contact.
Yes.
Person.
Yes.
I thought that was great. I did not see it coming. But
no.
But
well, I don't think she even saw it coming. She's like, makes sense. But it's not like she thought in her mind. My brother
wasn't
did
it her brother that was like, you need to put him down as emergency contact. So if anything happens, you know,
I was laughing. I'm like, I can't remember. Did she put it down or did her brother
she did.
Do it?
Her brother told her she needed to do that because they don't
not
have
thinking
any
she'd
family
ever use
left.
It. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
And yeah, she thought, oh, that's nothing will happen. It'll be fine. And then everyone at the hospital is like, you got him
this?
On your emergency contact, girl.
You gotta know him better than you say.
So he runs, you know, into his soon to be ex brother-in-law as he's running in to check on Leah. So how would you have handled that situation?
I would pray that I would handle it with grace, but I don't know. Like, I don't know if I don't think I would have said anything, but my face can't be controlled. So
yeah.
I'm pretty sure I would have instigated kind of a response.
I can't play poker because my face, I can't like control it.
No.
They were talking about at work at a staff meeting. They're going to do like a pep rally. And they're like, are there any staff members who would be willing to do the relay race where you sit on a scooter and you take a plunger and you like use it to like scoot yourself across the gym floor? Basically, you're going to plunge yourself down the...
I feel a library program coming on to say.
And they were like, someone goes, these are going to be like brand new plungers, right? Not used ones. And one of the teachers that's running it, she goes, well, as long as they're not too expensive to buy brand new, otherwise we'll be asking to borrow. And I was like, I literally went like
that. My gosh.
And then somebody across the room goes, Melissa's going to throw up. Like, that's disgusting.
Like there was no hiding it.
That's disgusting. I'm like, I don't think you have any volunteers anymore.
No.
It better be brand new, clean plungers.
That is
anyways,
awful.
Anyways, yeah, it's a funny thing. But I thought he handled it well.
Yes.
Far better than I would have. Although I feel like having gone through a similar situation a couple times with people close to me that I'm like, I think I've been pretty civil. Yeah, it's hard to like bite.
It's hard to think ahead of time too. Like, I mean, you're in so many emotions about those people. Like, we don't even know this guy. He's a character in a book. And I'm just like, man, right. I would love to let him have it.
I'd love to like slug you.
But
right
when you're in that moment, I mean, thank God he gives you grace because I don't think we could do it on our own.
I don't think we could. I think you're right. And I'm so bummed that Tiffany's not here because remember they had that description of Nurse Tiffany.
Yes.
And she was like really stern and
like everything opposite of our Nurse Tiffany. Yes.
Yeah. And I was like, Tiffany's so not like that. She would be very much very caring and she'd be like Leah.
Yes, she would.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. And then, okay, I'm going to read this part. It's on page 101. It's where Ryan looks at Leah's social media profile. And then he goes, this woman is perfect. Okay, because he's an investigator, right? So he looks things up. And he's supposed to get dinner. And he's trying to figure out, well, what would she like? So he would have texted Kirk, which is her brother. But with the time difference, Kirk was asleep by now. So he did the next best thing. He pulled up her profiles on social media. She liked coffee. She liked college football. She liked the lake. And she liked barbecue. Leah Weston might be the perfect woman. How did you react to that?
Honestly, I laughed and I read it to my husband and he looked at me and goes, now you know. And I was like, because he always laughed. He would bring me chicken wings before he would bring me flowers. I'm like, and that's why I married you.
Oh, so, yeah.
It made me smile. It kind of hit home for me, but I was just like, that is so cute.
It is.
But it definitely is typical guy thinking.
Yeah. He brought her barbecue for dinner and she was like, oh my goodness, how did you know?
Fantastic.
Anyways. Okay. And then my question was, have you ever known someone like Mr. Cook? So let me just read this short little description of him. He's an older gentleman that was friends with Leah's parents. Mr. Cook's prayer walks were legendary. Some people said if you got Mr. Cook to pray about your situation while he was on one of his walks, you could be sure the Lord had heard about it. Whenever Mr. Cook heard that, he'd shush the speaker and remind them God heard the prayers of all his children and nothing was special about his prayers. No one believed him. It says, if Mr. Cook decided to pray for you, you could be sure the Almighty was going to get involved. Have you ever known anyone like that?
So when I think about Mr. Cook, like I've known a lot of people that share characteristics, but someone like him, he strikes me as like a Miss Clara from the War Room, like something like that. So have I not 100%, but there are two people that instantly came to mind that I have to share. And it's kind of funny. So one of them is an older guy named Dwight. He was the dad of the man I sing with. Uh-huh. And he was just always like a father. But when he spoke to God, later on, they're talking about how Mr. Cook speaks to God. Mm-hmm. That's what reminded me of Dwight, because it was, you would just be talking and all of a sudden he's talking to God. And it was just this flawless, like you felt like God was with you. Mm-hmm. And I'll never forget, like, this is completely off the wall random, but I'll never forget one day he's talking about we were talking about this, and gosh, how did he put, I don't know. He just always had these little anecdotes, and it was just so cute. Yeah. And he just, it was like God was his best friend. They say, you know God and have a relationship, that was Dwight. And it was just something we always strived for.
Yeah.
The other person is in character, like, it's your dad.
Oh, yeah.
My goodness. Like, we didn't talk about God or have God talks, but, you know, I worked with your dad. And every morning, Tuesday mornings, we did recovery together. So we would have to go through and scan everything and, you know, chit chat, kill the time.
Yeah.
But just watching your dad and the way he interacted with everybody, it was like, he might not have had those prayers, but you knew that if Jeff was looking out for you, you were okay.
Yeah.
Like, I'll never forget the one day the girl, like, one of my friends ran into a pole, like, face first, just smacked her head. I don't know how she didn't knock herself out. And your dad was right there and I was right there. And it was just the most adorable thing because she did her thing, comes back. And that's all it took was your dad went up to her and put his arm around her and just kind of kissed the side of her head because she was the younger girl.
Yeah.
And she just lost it.
Aww.
But it was just like, it wasn't a bad thing. It was just your dad was like the dad. He was the comforter. Yeah. And it just, when you say like showing a love like Jesus, your dad was one of the ones that came to mind. So I'm not just saying that because she's your dad. I was like, that was really weird, but it was fun. Like, it was just.
Yeah, he told us about that. He goes, she just started crying on me. And I was like,
yeah, I was like, you have that effect on people, which we, you know, we made fun and poked fun, but it was just.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even the other guys is like, it was Papa Jeff. Like, that's what we call him.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and he's always been one to be like, everybody, I'd talk to everybody, anybody, you know, and. But he can also be. Papa Bear too, right?
Like, yeah, absolutely.
Like, he will come out and I've loved having him as a dad. It's been such a blessing. But I could see that now that he's older too, you know. But like growing up, I was so many people I went to school with, like, I wish your parents were my parents. And I'm like, you don't, at the time you're like, are you kidding me? They're so strict. They make me do, you know, they, you know. But as an adult, you look back and you're like, yeah, I was really blessed. Like, I've even come back and said, you know, I really appreciate the fact that you took the time to discipline me, even though I hated it.
Yeah.
Because if you ask any of my sisters, I don't know why, but I was the one that they were the strictest with and like held the punishments. So like every time my sisters got grounded, they would still get to watch TV and, you know, come down. Like, I'm like, are they actually really grounded? You know? So I got grounded and I came down to watch TV. I took one step into the living room and Dad was like, aren't you grounded, young lady? And I go, well, yeah. But I'm like, seriously, all my other sisters have come down and watched TV while they're grounded. And he's like, you can march yourself right back up to your room. He's like, there is no TV for a week. You know, that was the thing back then, like, to be able to watch TV, you know?
Yep.
I'm like, oh my word. And like, my sisters laughed so hard at me, which just then made me mad. And I was like, you know, but like even Jessica will say, oh, yeah, Dad was harsh. But see, like the thing was, when I was younger, I did a lot of naughty, naughty things until I became a teenager. And then I just kind of like evened out. I say naughty. I was pretty ornery. Like, like running off with a friend, almost drowning in the lake, starting a fire in the woods. Drinking a bottle of medicine. I mean, like, I did a lot of naughty, naughty things. And that's probably what scared him.
Probably.
That's probably what made them go, we had better put our thumb on her.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
Anyways, so totally off topic. So, like, when I think of Mr. Cook, first of all, I think he's, like, the perfect supporting character throughout the whole series.
Yes.
And as I read through him, I loved, I just loved him more. His faith and daily walk with the Lord was just really refreshing to read in a contemporary setting, which I know you mentioned that, like, you really liked the contemporary setting.
I loved it. Yeah. Like, I mean, I'm hooked on the historical. Like, it's just, it makes me want to be back there. It just, it's that comfort period. But reading this, like, I have not read a series along these lines before. And it was refreshing. It was like, I want to read more of it now. It's like, oh my gosh, just seeing it in literature, seeing it in books, seeing it talked about in a modern day setting was so refreshing. It's like, this does happen and we need to normalize it and we need to read more of it. So yeah, that happened back then because it was normal. I think in my mind, I'm like, I want to go there because that's how it was. And it helps me escape this world. But it's like, I need to be reading those to remind me that this world has that and we need to keep it. And
It does.
It was
good. He reminded me of one of my friend, she's in her 70s. We met at church and we've been friends for years now. She's wonderful, but she's a lot like Mr. Cook, except she's a lot more direct and pretty much like, this is how it's supposed to be. But she's very like, just tell me what to pray for. I'll start praying. And I'm telling you, she's just, her prayers are like Mr. Cook's. Like, if she's praying for it for you, it's going to happen.
Nice.
So, all right. So what did you think of Lynn's message that she wrote on page 22, where it's like Leah's thinking back to her mom, mm-hmm. A memory with her mom, where her mom is telling her that we can let difficult situations lead us to God or push us away from God. Do you have any thoughts on that one?
I mean, it definitely, this book hit hard. Yeah. It did. There were a lot of things about this book. There's a lot of things I relate to. The second one, anyways.
Yes, I know.
We'll get there. But
we will.
I mean, it did, just that trusting that God's in control, even when it feels awful, mm-hmm. is the note that I made. It's just,
yeah.
I mean, that alone, it's like, we know what we're supposed to do and trusting. And she was so right, but man, is it hard.
It is, isn't
it's
it?
So hard. And to get angry, but
yeah. I thought it was a powerful message. She has a lot of nuggets of truth that she wove it in. So it wasn't preachy.
Yes.
You know, she did a really great
job.
It
was
mellow.
That.
And I just made a note, like, you can never let the devil use a difficult situation to put a wedge between you and God, but rather let God refine you and wrap you in his loving arms and carry you through to a better you in the end. Because I think we can all agree, when we finally get to look back after he's carried us through, we're like, oh,
that's okay, why you did it.
That's why. And I'm a better version of me now moving mm-hmm. forward. But in the middle of it, you're like, this sucks.
Yeah. So. You can't possibly. It's like, I mean, when you say that, it's like, I know looking back, but it's like, come on. Like, really? Mm-hmm. Like, sometimes it's hard. Like, God, why didn't you pick the other option? Like,
yeah.
Why so painful?
Yeah. I get it. All right. Now, I'm not going to read this scene. I know I put the page number on there, mainly because it just made me so mad. But how would you have reacted if you were Ryan and you had to actually face and interact with your ex-brother-in-law and his girlfriend? So let me just, for our listeners, say that an event happens where Ryan, as the investigator, now has to basically interview his ex-brother-in-law while he's in the hospital. And his girlfriend, I think he has some unique names that he gives her, basically like family wrecker. I mean, because who goes after a married man, mm-hmm. right? Anyways, that's a whole nother topic. But she is in there like fawning all over him, you know, and here Ryan is watching, having come in and support his sister who has been broken and devastated because she loved him, married him, built a life, had his kids, and he just walked out on mm-hmm. her. And so now Ryan has to go in and talk to him in a civil manner. If you were in his shoes, what would you do?
So I really loved the side character in here, Carrie, the nurse.
Mm, yes. Oh, yes, Carrie.
That's what I say. I would try to be professional. I think I would be able to, but there'd be no way I could be 100% mm-hmm. professional or quiet. Like, I would probably be the professional with the tone, with the snorts, with the inflection, like, mm-hmm. that would be me. It's like, I would be more like Carrie. I would try to be professional, but
mm-hmm. Carrie nailed it to him for uh-huh. him, you know, which was like, go Carrie, you know. I didn't reread it because it made me sick to my stomach, right? Like, I just was like, I cannot believe, you know, and you just want to smack them both. I think if I were Ryan, I would have said, you need to leave the room while I do my
Yeah, like, you're not
job,
needed here.
Basically, I mean, he wasn't really interrogating him, but he had mm-hmm. to ask questions to know more about what had happened. But anyways, I would have told her to leave.
Yeah.
And while she left, and I said, and you should see the shambles I've had to help my sister pick up because
I know,
of you.
Right?
And you too, man, because he was just as guilty. They both mm-hmm. owned it. But anyways, okay, moving on. I was like, I was just curious what, you're much more graceful than I am. I'm like,
no. I'm not.
Yeah. All right. So let me. Okay. What did I do with my book? I moved it here. Here it is. Okay. On page 171, by the way, Gabe's personality.
I love him.
Yes, I love him so much. But let me see if this is the right scene. Oh, yes. Yeah, so Gabe is really like egging Adam on. Adam likes a certain girl, mm-hmm. right? And everybody knows it, but he's not making a move. And here's Gabe going, "She's even prettier than I was expecting," Gabe said after the two of them walked away. "Did you see Adam's response? He was about ready to climb over this desk." Gabe rubbed his hands together. "I'm going to have so much fun with this." Mm-hmm. "You shouldn't flirt with her like that," Ryan said. "Like what? I was just talking to her." And he's like, "Adam can't keep me from talking to her," Gabe said. "And I have a case that could use her expertise." So he's doing it because he's trying to push Adam to, like, mm-hmm. you know, get up, man, and state your feelings for her.
Do
so
something. He's,
like, flirting with the girl that Adam really likes, which they get their story next, which we'll talk about it. But I just love the humor that he brought to it. There's another scene that we'll talk about in a minute, too, that was absolutely hilarious between him and Ryan. That was great. But on page 198, so, you know, Leah, she's the person that somebody keeps trying to basically kill throughout the whole series. And she describes how she's feeling on page 198. She says, "It feels like I'm on a roller coaster and someone is shooting at me. I'm trapped, flying at top speed, flipping and twisting in the air, and I can't get off. There's nothing I can do except hold on and pray I don't get hit. But I don't want the ride to end either, because if they are smart, they'll be waiting for me to pull into the station. And right when I think it's finally over, they'll get me." What do you think of that description?
It like squeezes your heart a bit, because it's so, you can feel it. Like you mm-hmm. can visualize it. You, I mean, just the idea of being on a roller coaster, like, cause you're trapped, you're helpless and mm-hmm. bullets are flying, but you don't want it to, I mean, yeah, everything she says, it just, it was a perfect description.
Yeah. I said the same thing. It's a perfect description and it pulled me into Leah's shoes. Mm-hmm. Like, because we've all been in a situation, maybe not like having someone shooting at us. Right. But like that. Even roller coaster ride.
The helpless roller coaster.
Yeah. So I loved this too. She has this description on page 206 of God running towards us and longing to hold us.
Which those are the regular page numbers, because I accidentally grabbed the large print book and I was looking at the page numbers for uh-huh. the questions. I'm like, what is she talking about? Like, oh. I know, but like, oh yeah.
Yeah. Is... She said somehow she knew that would be enough for now. Oh, because she just whispered, "Help me," mm-hmm. that he heard her, that he wasn't waiting for her with a long list of grievances, that he was running toward her, longing to hold her close if she'd let him. And then she whispered, "Help me," again. Mm-hmm. I loved it because I think it's such a beautiful picture of our loving God. Mm-hmm. I think too often we see him as like he sits up here and just like makes people's lives miserable, or whatever. But mm-hmm. he's a loving God. And it I honestly think like I love these little nuggets of truth because it makes me pause and reflect on how much he loves me and he pursues me. And it can be overwhelming sometimes. Yeah. But I think that's what I love so much about Christian fiction is that it's yes. not a bad overwhelm. It's like this, I don't know, this overwhelm of peace and like, mm-hmm. okay, he's got me. Even if everything in this world perishes and I'm
yes.
feel like I'm standing alone, right? Yes. I'm not really yeah. alone.
Well, it's like it's that God sovereignty. Like she said, mm-hmm. she's like, talking to the author.
Yeah.
People have to listen to that. But just that God's sovereignty, that mm-hmm. he's always there. And having read this for the first time, it just to you always read about it, but it's like it's real life descriptions. It's mm-hmm. the roller coaster. It's knowing God has you. It's just these books were so much more real. I don't know how yeah. to put it.
And
it
I was, think it's just because it's written in our time.
Yeah.
So you're like, okay, yeah, like it's this didn't just happen. Like
yeah.
people have faith now. They didn't mm-hmm. just have it in the past. Yeah. Like you said earlier.
Yes. Yeah. But like, you know, the picture of our God, like always mm-hmm. with open arms running towards us, like just come to me, like
yeah.
seeing that in our time setting, like, mm-hmm. oh, it wasn't just back then that God really cared because they were better than we are
right,
now.
Right.
It's like God still loves us. We can still run to him. He still has his arms open.
Yeah.
It's a good reminder.
Awesome. Yeah. I always say my advice is to stop, turn around, run, and take a flying leap into his capable arms.
Yep.
And there are times, I think we'll talk about it, and maybe in a different, I don't know if it's with this book or a different book in the series, where it's like, I think I wrote down something like, we try to do it ourselves and we get into this big mess and then we just kind of crumble. And he always, like, he has never with me been like, see, told you so. And just stood there and watched me try to dig myself back out. Like, he always rescues. So,
yep.
I loved on page 231. Leah's honest statement about the looks of one of their victims compared to Ryan, Gabe, and Adam's looks, because they were like, I think they were trying to discover, like, did he have a lover that, you know, something like that. And she goes, I'm What's sorry, but he's not much of a catch. They all started laughing. She goes, you laugh now. You're all three drop dead gorgeous and you know it. Someday you'll be pushing 60 and your cheeks will have jowls and your eyes will have dark circles and you will look in the mirror and wonder what happened.
Oh my goodness.
It was funny, but she's like, it's true. I put, like, I laughed because she said what, like, we would probably think but never say out loud.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Like, you're not, I think mine was like, yeah, they're not always going to be a 10. Like, we all age. And
yeah.
But the funny, like, the humbleness, like, they don't even consider it. Like, yeah, they don't even think that they're anything better. It's like, come on, look in the mirror.
Like, I know. Like, hey, you guys are, I think they said something about, like, seriously, you could be in the police calendar or something like that. I don't know.
Yes.
It was so funny. So then there's this thing that happens where Gabe interrupts Ryan and Leah, I believe. And this Chris cracked me up. So I just wondered how you reacted to this conversation between Gabe and Ryan. It says 12 hours later, Gabe was still apologizing. Man, I had no idea, he said for the 50th time. I told you to drop it, Ryan said. But she kissed you like a real kiss, not an accidental. How does someone kiss somebody accidentally? It could happen. I was just like dying laughing. Uh-huh.
This is actually one of the scenes that comes to mind when we're talking about Gabe and, like, trying to describe mm-hmm. him and his personality. He's just so charmingly ornery.
Yes.
It's hilarious. And that covers, he's just like, he's so innocently needling mm-hmm. him. Like, you know what you're doing, but it's so innocent.
It could happen.
Yeah.
I'm like, when I read that, I'm like, this just reads like a sitcom, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Like, it's just so funny.
Oh my goodness.
All right. Now, this next question is a spoiler to a degree. Okay. So I just want to warn anybody who hasn't read the book. But I had to ask, how did you react to the news of two wives for one of their victims?
It was interesting. I don't think I actually, like, pegged it or saw it coming, but it wasn't a surprise.
Yeah.
It wasn't surprising at all. Like,
oh,
I was like,
really?
Oh, okay. I don't think, like, after it happens, it's not something that I would have thought of. But once it happens, it's like, yeah, I could see that. Like, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't. I was total surprised. And I was like, how does this even happen?
Which maybe that's good. I mean, maybe that's the contemporary side that I'm reading that I can bring in. Because it's like that evil's out there.
And I felt bad because the second wife thought she was married to a spy. Okay.
Let me just hear your thoughts on that. I laughed. I'm just like, oh. Like, really? Like, really? Did you really? But she, I didn't have many nice thoughts on it. I didn't. Just like, how can you be that naive?
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, they're describing the guy and you really think he was a spy. Like,
again, not much of a catch.
No offense. But I mean, you're thinking, yeah. I was like, can you really be that ditzy? And then, yeah.
She seemed to be, she did come across as a ditz.
Yeah.
For sure. But I did. I did feel bad for her. It made me think, like, if I was single now, I don't think I would even date.
Never.
Like, it's scary.
Yeah. Like, even before then, it's like no one is who they say they are.
Yes.
And it's terrifying. It makes you, like, and, you know, my kids, like, I have two daughters and a son, all between the ages of 17 and 22. Mm-hmm. And it's right at that age where, you know, they're looking for their life partners. They're experiencing these. And I'm just like, I don't trust anybody. It's, you understand looking back about the whole, you know, dad and no one's good enough for my kid. It's like, you really feel that. And
yeah,
dating is terrifying.
It is. And I think, would I fall for that? I honestly know. I think though, if I was dating a guy and he basically was saying that he was a spy, I'd be like, yeah, we're done. I highly doubt that.
Like, I need to meet your boss. I need your contacts. I want government.
I know. Papers. Prove it. Prove it, buddy.
Like, sorry.
All right. Because I think if you really are a spy, I don't know if spies actually even attempt to have a family because of their line of work. I know they're out there.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. But also, you wouldn't come out and say, well, I'm a spy.
Yeah, like if you were a real spy, you could afford an alibi. Like you could, you would have a pretend day job. Like, wouldn't you want a backstory? So yeah, that was a hard one to swallow.
It was.
Not surprised, a little annoyed, but I was like, yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure like the dangers existed even when we were dating. You know what I mean? But they just seem like there's more danger now to date. I don't know why. It just feels, or maybe it's just because we're older and we're more aware of.
Probably.
You know, we're not as naive as like, oh, no, it's just, you know, falling in love. But I will say, I know how much I prayed when Derek and I were dating because I didn't want to like, I didn't want to give my heart to someone who could crush me. Right.
Yeah.
Because when you give your heart to someone, my word, they have total control to just like squeeze
Absolutely.
You and you're done. Right. But I also had this fear of what if I marry the wrong guy and I build this life with him and then he just walks out on me.
Yeah.
You know how like I just, that's crazy as a teenager that I was like going through those thoughts, but I'm like, it would kill me.
Mm-hmm.
Right. If we built a life together, we made this commitment and then he just left me.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think I could handle it. And so it was just really like that really scared me. So I can remember praying all the time. Is he the one? Is he the one? And then he just told me a few days ago, he goes, I knew pretty early on, but he's 4 years older than me. Mm-hmm. So when we met, I was 13 and he was 17. Now we didn't start dating then. We were just friends at that point, but he's like, I knew pretty early on, like, oh, she's the one. So he waited around for me. I mean, I was like, okay. Well, I didn't, Derek, because I was still growing up.
Yeah,
so I was like, I don't know. Is this the right?
Well, I mean, like my husband and I, like it's a blessing. It kind of makes me laugh because I was married before. Mike is my second husband.
Yeah.
And, you know, trusting someone one time, let alone a second time, is impossible. And he had been in a relationship before as well. So it's just trying to open up that trust. Like it is God's will because you don't trust anybody. You don't really know. And I was thinking about how you guys knew. It was just Mike and I were both determined, like, nope, we're just friends. And, you know, and then, okay, well, we're going to date, but I don't know how serious this is because we didn't want to put ourselves out there again.
Yeah.
And now I married my best friend. It's like, it was.
Yeah. I think that makes a difference too when you start in the friend zone.
Yeah.
And then move on because you, in the friend zone, that's where it's like you have the ability to really get to know each other before you go, you know, I kind of really like what I'm seeing, you know?
Yeah.
Or, you know? So unfortunately, the too many near and dear to me have gone through that. And it breaks my heart because it is tragic. And I think there's like later in one of her other books, we'll talk about it, about like giving your heart to someone and that when a woman gives her heart to a man, it's his job to protect it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we get into that a little bit later. But anyways, all right. I love this at the end of the book where Kirk, who is Leah's, you know, older brother and best friend of Ryan, his reaction to Ryan being in love with his sister. Let me see if I could find that real quick. It was like page like 335.
I cheered at the scene. I did a little fist pump like, yes. Like,
here we go. Let's see. It says, I realize this isn't what you're expecting to hear, but I have to be honest with you. I've cared about Leah since before you told all of us to stay away from her. Because when they were in high school, he was like, no boy is allowed to talk or touch my sister. And Kirk rolled his eyes. Since she moved home, I've seen her at church and in the ED and around town. And every single time I've thought about what it would be like to get to know her better, to take her out for dinner or a twilight cruise on the boat. This is Kirk's reaction. I don't want to hear about your dates with my sister. Ryan took advantage of Kirk's softening tone and grinned. That won't be hard to manage since I still haven't taken her out on a real date. But now that we've put the danger behind us, I have a long list of things I cannot wait to share with her. And he's like, Kirk's face like crinkles up in disgust. I guess I'll get used to it. And they both laugh. And then Kirk drew serious again. You do realize if you hurt her, it will destroy our friendship. I'll never forgive you. And Ryan says, I know, but I also know you don't have to worry about that. This is no casual fling, Kirk. Kirk, I love her with everything I am. What do you think of that scene?
I absolutely love it. I absolutely loved it, especially like the way he addresses Kirk. He's like, you know what? It's don't really care. Her opinion means more to me than yours.
Yeah.
And just that right there was like the perfect answer. It's like, how could Kirk not respect that?
Yeah.
Like even saying like, you know, I love her. Like I know it would ruin everything. And I'm still coming to you saying, I love her. Mm-hmm. It's just, yeah. Isn't that like the ultimate, like hearted, like the best friend, kid, sister? Uh-huh. I think even in the beginning, I was like, oh my, the one that got away. Like,
yeah.
It's just great that he held that torch for so long. And when he finally brought it to Kirk, it was just like, don't care. Like he cared, but he loved Lee that much.
I'm not going to allow Kirk to keep me from her anymore, basically, because he was always standing guard.
Yeah, big his brother, love for guard. Lee meant more to him than his loyalty to Kirk in a way. Mm-hmm. Like there's always that friendship, but he's going to be, it's like that shifting of loyalties where you're my best friend. Mm-hmm. Now she's my woman. And it's just, it was adorable.
And it is a shift because once you take that step and you say, I'm going to claim her as mine, and vice versa.
Yeah.
It's okay. They are number one. Well, God's number one, but you know what I mean?
Yeah,
two people here on earth. Mm-hmm. It's them first and everybody after.
Yeah.
Right. So yeah, I really loved it. It was awesome. So this is our first contemporary Christian suspense romance novel. Did you enjoy it?
Absolutely loved it.
Would you read another one?
I'm going to. Yeah. Absolutely.
I loved it. I said yes and yes. Mm-hmm. I have been sucked into it. I've even read some secular ones in this genre too. Of course, I always go back to the Christian. I just like it better. It's just so much nicer. But anyways, how would you rate the following elements of the story? So we're going to start with the romance level.
I said mocha.
I did too. Yeah. It's not overwhelming, but it's there.
It's there.
It's like, ooh, you know, when it comes out. So how about the suspense?
Latte.
I said latte. Mm-hmm. Obviously, it's a suspense novel, right? Action?
Latte.
I did mocha/latte, and only because I feel like there's a little more action in some of the other books that come along. But I could totally go latte with it.
But it definitely kept moving. Like, there were no lulls. Like, usually you're like, what's happening next? What's going to happen? There was none of that. I feel like it just kept going.
How about the mystery level?
I put latte because I didn't guess anything.
Oh, you did? I didn't either. Hints, a lot of it was a shock.
Yeah.
Even who done it.
Yeah.
I was like, what? Yeah. Not at all what I was expecting. Mm-mm. So how about the drama level?
I put mocha.
I did too.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of, when I think of drama, I think of like the, I don't want to say arguments or like the
relationship tensions and like those, like there's a lot going on, but I don't feel like it was like emotional drama.
Right. How about the inspiration level?
I put mocha/latte.
I put mocha. Yeah. So we were pretty much the same on all of those elements because I think like it's there, but it's not preaching at you.
Yes.
So, but it's powerful.
It's extremely
nuggets of truth.
Yeah. And so applicable to life today. Everybody needs to read this series.
They do.
Yeah.
It's great. I think all the series we read are great, but I did really enjoy this. And I think it comes back to like what you were talking about because it's set in our time. It's a little more relatable and it makes you go, oh, wow. Like people really are living this way. And I could do that too. Right. Yep. Yeah. So what is your overall lasso rating of Beneath the Surface by Lynn H. Blackburn?
I put 2 to 2.5 lassos.
Oh, I gave it 3. Interesting. Okay.
I think some of that was just because, like, the second book in the series.
That one really got you.
It really took me. Yep.
Yeah.
So it was hard to.
Which we'll talk about in Too Deep next week. Mm-hmm. Thanks for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed this episode. If so, please consider signing up for our free newsletter. Each week, you'll receive news about our events for both readers and authors, plus updates on my books. You can sign up at www.literaryscape.com/newsletter. Until next time, happy and blessed reading and writing.